Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
We'll go ahead and jump into this. We're going to be reading out of John, the 15th chapter, give you an opportunity to turn there. And I ask y'all to pray for us this morning. Seems like our faith has not been the strongest this week. And just pray the Lord would help us to just get out of the way and give you what the Lord has laid upon our heart.
Bless
him, Lord. It's funny that, you know, when we went and got to visit with the associational meetings, Tommy talked to me and said, "Well, I know you got a message," and asked me to come back last Wednesday, and he was right. I had a message. And to be honest with you, I preached this at Lost Chapel a couple weeks ago, and it's something that I feel I need to also share here this morning. Yeah, and I believe as we look at the world today, it's something that we all need to remember. And so we're just going to go ahead and read. And again, we're going to be in John, the 15th chapter, and we're going to start in the 12th verse, and we're going to read all the way through the rest of the chapter, and we'll explain why here in just a little bit. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do so, do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Right. Let us pray. Dear, kind, merciful Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. God, we're thankful, Lord, for each and every one that's here. God, we're thankful, Lord, for these times that we can come into your house, Lord, and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and worship you. Lord, leave all those cares and the things of this world, Lord, at the door. God and Lord, that we can come in and worship you, Lord, in truth and in spirit. And God, we pray, Lord, that you just help us, Lord, just look into our hearts, Lord. See exactly where we stand with you, God. If we have anything, Lord, that stands between us, Lord, and the love of a brother, Lord, or our love towards you, God, that you would help us, Lord, just to lay it down upon this altar, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, God, and help us, Father, to be that which you would have us to be. Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. Of course, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. We all say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. One thing that I have learned in my ministry is that whenever you're reading the Bible, it's needful that you look at the situation and look at it as a whole. I know that I have been guilty myself of taking Scripture, not necessarily taking it out of context, but taking it out of chapters or out of books and maybe not relating or fully explaining what God is trying to explain to us as Christians and as our people today. I look also as it begins to talk about that, it says, you know, that no man hath greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. I've used that in talking about the love of Christ and that he died for us. Yep. But yet, truthfully, when we begin to look at this chapter and all that it is speaking to, this is not just speaking of that, but it is giving us an example of how we are to be toward one another.
Right.
Now, as we begin to look here in John, the 15th chapter, you will find that he's talking about the vine and we are his branches. In other words, we are all connected to Christ through his blood and through the family, and we have been grafted in by his grace and his sacrifice for us. And let us never move away from that or forget the sacrifice that Christ did for us. But as he is talking to his disciples here and explaining this to them, he then moves on to something else and begins to instruct them and tell them, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But then he goes here in the 12th verse and he says something that I think that we all need to listen to and understand today. It says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, truthfully, we know the Bible says that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Right.
It is very clear in that. In fact, if you go over to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, when they ask Christ, "Well, what are the great commandments?" He said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said in him, "That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets."
Right.
Now, we're not taking any away from that. Because
right.
God has laid a thought or a message upon my heart, I believe, that we as Christians need to hear. But the thing is that we are to love our neighbors in the world as Christ has loved us and as ourselves. It doesn't matter, as it's already been spoken about this morning, whether they're Democrat or Republican, we are to love them.
Right.
You hear me?
Right.
We are to pray for them. Now, this is something hard for us to understand, that when we begin to look and we see the state of our nation and things are being trying to pass through and the laws are in effect, it's hard for us as Christians to say, how am I supposed to love that person? Well, Christ never asked us to do anything that he did not do first.
Right.
He loved them in such a way that he died for their sins and made a way of salvation. Now, who are we to look upon those people and not love them as Christ loved us? If he loved me and my sins, we are to love them as well. Now, we're not taking away from that. But I believe as we begin to look at the 15th chapter here, I believe he is writing this to us as followers. Because who is he speaking to? He's speaking to his disciples.
Right.
He's looking unto them. And when he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, Jeff, why are you thinking this? Because when you look at this chapter as a whole, there's a change that occurs.
Right.
See, in the 17th verse, he repeats his saying again. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Why? If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. See, he's trying to make his disciples realize that in this world today, if we can't love one another, then what good are we?
Right.
The truth is, we have the devil upon every hand and the world, whether or not we love them as we should, and we truly should. But the fact of the matter is that the world does not love us today. The world does not love Christ. Why? Because it crucified him, and we'll get to that in just a minute. And as he's telling his disciples, he's trying to show them that they are to love one another because of what they are about to face.
Right.
He knew how the church and what we would even face today.
Right.
You may say, well, these are unprecedented times. Well, truthfully, the world has always been this way.
Right.
Whether or not we like it or not, that's the truth. The thing is that we see it so much more because we have 24-hour news channels. We have our computers. We have the internet. We have all these things that are constantly telling us of the things and the condition of this world. But the truth of the matter is, it's been this way ever since the dawn of time. Why? Because of sin. So in this time, what are we to do as Christians? We are to love one another. Because if nothing else, if we can't love one another, then what in the world are we doing?
Right.
The truth is that many times what we're doing as a church, and Lord, help me now. Pray for me, all right? That God would help me to give what God has laid upon my heart. The problem is that we can't wonder about why is our church is struggling so? Why is it that the world is coming in and tearing it down? Why is it that we see churches that are beginning to struggle and we're seeing churches whether we like it or not? And this is the same message I've preached many, many, many times. We wonder why are the things going the way that they are? First and foremost, we don't love God the way that we're supposed to.
Yeah, bless you.
Let's remember that.
Bless you, amen.
But also, the problem is that we don't love one another the way that the Bible instructs us that we are to.
Bless you, Lord.
Now, one thing that I've had the privilege of doing is I've been able to preach in different places, and this is something that I've had to preach to myself time and time again, that I am to love one another, that I am to love those that have maybe hated me, that I am to love those that maybe didn't show me love the way that I fully expected. And many times I get my heart hurt, and many times I look at Christian people and I think, you know what, in my life I've been hurt more by Christian people than I've been hurt by people of the world. Is that not true? Why is that? Because many times we look at people, and God help us, that we put our faith and trust in people rather than we put our faith and trust in God.
Amen.
We look at things and we wonder, well, Jeff, why are you talking about this? Because many times I've been in churches, and this is just the way God's given me. And I've said it the other day at Lost Temple. I've been in churches many times where you can go into the church and you can feel the tension when you walk through the doors. You look around and you see cliques and you see family members sitting in one group and other group over here, and oh, and they're kind of separated about, when truthfully the Bible is clear in that we are to come together as one body.
Amen.
See, Paul writes of it many times in Ephesians and the other letters to Corinthians, Galatians, and all those things, talking about we as Christians, we are to come together as one body, loving one another and compassion for one another. Why? Because we are in this fight together trying to help people, and most importantly, we're trying to lead people to Christ.
Amen.
But we can't even love one another.
Bless
you. May say, well, Jeff, you don't know what they've done to me.
Doesn't matter.
I've said that myself.
Right.
You don't know what they've done to me.
Right. Amen.
Bruce, I've even said, well, boy, if they knew, they'd understand why I feel the way that I do.
Yeah, bless you.
If they understood what they said about me and what they done to me and my family, they would understand where I'm coming from and why I have an ought against them. God, forgive me.
Right, amen.
That's right.
Right.
We are to love one another. And if we can't come together in the Lord's house and put the cares and the things out there where it's supposed to be, if we can't come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and love on one another in the Lord's house, then where else are we going to do it?
Amen.
We wonder why is it what we can't even get Christian lost people to come to church, because they look at our own people. And I've gone and I've visited people. I've knocked on doors. And they said, if so-and-so's still down there, I'm not going to go back.
Yeah.
God, forgive us.
Amen.
We get mad at one another over petty little things. And we hold an ought against a brother over petty little things. Well, we got people out there that are dying and going to a devil's hell.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what matters.
Right.
It's not my will, but His will be done.
Amen.
The Bible is clear that we are to love one another and forgive one another. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, Even if you read the covenant up here, it has guidelines of we as Christians are supposed to handle ourselves. And if a brother has an ought, or if a brother has trespasses, of how we are to go to them and talk to them. See, the thing is that the fault falls on both sides.
Right.
And many times, Bruce, I may hurt you fully and completely unintentionally.
Yep.
And if I do, brother, I want you to come and talk to me and we'll work it out. Yep. Why? Because that's what we are supposed to do.
Amen.
What he said.
Amen.
And the Bible says this in Matthew, if you know that you hurt somebody, I have. I've hurt people. And I've had to go to them and ask them for forgiveness and tell them I'm sorry. I had people tell me all the time, quit telling me you're sorry. That's just the way God made me. I can't help it. I say it a lot. But the thing is that we ought not try to hurt one another, but love one another.
Yeah.
And Peter asked Christ this. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. If Christ can continually forgive us of our sins, then we ought to forgive those that sin against us. And in fact, the Bible, when he talked about when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, you know what he said? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Right.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us.
Amen.
These just ain't things that are just told to us of how we are supposed to live. And I know we just came out of communion service, and I don't know why God's leading me here, but I'm just going to be obedient.
Yeah.
See, when he talked about washing feet, he said that you ought to do this because this is an example. Well, the truth is, when he says that we are to love one another, it's not just an example or we ought to do it. No, he says this is my commandment.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
This ranks up there the same as thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not steal something. This is not up for a debate.
Yeah. Amen.
This is we ought to love one another.
Amen.
Why? Because we've got Christian people. Tommy just the other day, I believe he preached about being the salt and the light, right? We've heard it a lot. You know what? We can't be the light or the salt out there if we hate one another.
Right.
Because
Amen.
You know what? They can't tell us different from the rest of the world. Because the world out there hates one another all that they can. They're trying to tear one another down. And we as Christians, God help us if we're doing the same.
Yeah, bless you.
How are we supposed to be any different from the world if they can't see the love of Christ in our heart?
Right.
See, he knew what the disciples were going to face.
Right.
He knew what we were going to face. And he's telling them, this isn't up for a debate.
Yeah.
He says, for this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then he proceeds on to what I was talking about before. This is how much love we're supposed to show for one another. Oh boy, this is a hard saying, ain't it?
Right.
Who can hear it?
Right.
Listen, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the example.
Right.
Now, I've got my family back there. I tell you what, I'd jump in front of a bullet for them. I jump in front of a truck for them. I give my life for them. But the thing is would I be doing that just for a brother in my church? Would I esteem him higher than myself? Would I get down on my hands and knees and give up some prayer or some sleep or some TV time to pray for my brother and sister in Christ? Lord, Tommy, you stepped all over my toes already today when you talked about our prayer request. God, help us not to just make a prayer request just for me.
Right.
And pray, God, help me. Brother, we need to help one another and pray for one another.
Amen.
When we see a brother or sister that's struggling, pray for them.
Amen.
Don't cast judgment on them, but pray for them.
Amen.
That's love.
Amen.
And God, help us. We won't even come up here and pray with a brother and sister in Christ that is brokenhearted and is crying out to God for mercy for whatever it may be. Maybe we'll cast judgment on them and say, oh, look, oh, Billy, he's up there again. Boy, he must have messed up. He must have messed up real bad. Oh, Lord, look at him. No, we ought to love him and get down here with him and pray with him. Why? Because that is a commandment.
Amen.
Lord, I've had to pray about this a lot, Tommy.
Right.
I'm going to give you the same way it gave it to you at Lost Chapel, because he's just giving it to me back that way. You know, I realized that there was a time in my life I was mad.
Yeah.
I was angry at people.
Yeah.
If I'm truthful, I probably had hate in my heart.
Right.
I didn't go to church. God, forgive me that I would have an ought against somebody in the church, that I would keep my children from going to the Lord's house. I'm going to have to account for that. I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for that, that I wasn't willing to set aside my pride, Tommy, and set aside the way that I felt and that anger. And again, I'm going to say it again, that pride, and lay it aside and say, it doesn't matter. What matters is that my children hear the preached word of God.
Amen.
And we got people, we got Christians, and again, I'm not just talking about them outside the doors. We can be just as backslid and hate the person sitting right next beside of us in our bench and just have that on against them. What good are we doing? Are we coming together in one mind and one accord and worshiping God the way that we ought to? We talk about how we don't have services the way that we once did. We don't have revivals the way that we once did. We don't see people getting saved the way that we once did. You know what? God can save unto the uttermost. The problem is that we don't love one another the way that we're supposed to.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
I'd imagine, imagine what would happen today if Christian people truly, as it says over in, I believe it's over in Chronicles, when it talks about those which are called by my name shall humble themselves and repent and turn their face and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. You know where that starts? It starts with us. That we would lay aside that anger, lay aside that ought, and love one another and ask God to forgive us that we feel that way for one another.
Right.
And we see a great awakening. We see our people come back. But no, they sit outside the doors and they say, well, that's a Christian. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. If that's what Christ is, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Why? Because we are to be Christians, which are to be Christ-like.
Right.
And if we have an ought or a hateful thought in our hearts, are we being Christ-like? No, because guess what? You know what he did when he was talking about his disciples right here? When he was talking to them directly, eye to eye, Tommy.
Yeah.
He knew what Peter was going to do.
Right.
He knew he was going to deny him. Three times. He knew that when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he asked him to pray for him, knowing that his hour was come and his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he said, can you not just pray with me for an hour? And every time he went back, you know what they did? They let him down. They were asleep.
Yeah.
You know what he still did anyway?
Right.
He loved them.
Right.
He loved them and he died on the cross of Calvary. He laid his life down for them and took the whipping post and took the nails in the hands and paid the debt that no man could pay. And he did it with love in his heart and said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I tell you what, that's love.
Right, amen.
Sometimes we just got to say that about one another. God, forgive them. They don't know what they do. God bless them. No, we want to hold an ought. We want to get angry. We got people that are looking at us. We got our own children in our own pews. How many times? Right here. Right here. Right here. We get in the car with our own kids in the car, and then we'll talk about somebody at church. What kind of an example is that setting for our children that we are to just say to them, you can just gossip, you can just judge, you can just let your tongue just run unbridled, you can just talk about one another all that you want, because you know what? If daddy did it, it must be okay for me to do it. Ow, my toes are hurting right now. Is that showing love as Christ commanded us to? No. And then we wonder, why is it that our kids don't come back to church? Why are our kids out there in the world? Why aren't our grandkids coming to church? Why? Because what kind of an example did we give to them? And we show the love of Christ as we see generation after generation falling away. It's time, oh Lord, here we go. I'm just going to be obedient. It's time that we quit pointing down at the last generation, the next upcoming generation, and say, well, boy, look how bad they are. Guess what? That started with me.
Yeah.
And the example that I showed, did I show the love of Christ the way that I'm supposed to? No. Something I've happened to be working on.
Amen.
That's, what kind of example are we to give? Let's move on. I've got to move. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command for. Henceforth, I call you not servants. Now listen, I'm going to skip over here to the 16th verse because this is something as I was studying, I really like this. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now listen, what is he trying to say there? To me, when I read that, you know what I realized, and I hope and pray I get this across right. There's a lot of people in my group, in my sect of friends. A lot of times I can pick and choose who I want to spend my time with outside of church.
Right.
You hear me? Now, bear with me for a second. I hope and pray you listen to me. I can choose that. Tommy, if maybe you don't like the same kind of music I like and I want to ride up and down the road listening to music, I may not call you. You know what? Because that's my choice. There's people in my life that, you know what? I may not want to spend time with them because I may not like the way they talk. I may not like, you know, different things about them. And, you know, we have friends and we have best friends and we have relationships with one another because we pick and choose whether or not we like it. Guess what? Here's the thing that got me. When it comes to church, you don't have any picking and choosing. When it comes to church, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you look across the aisle and you cast judgment on somebody and you say, I can't believe they're here. What in the world are they doing back here? Don't you know what they did last week or a year ago? Remember what they said about so-and-so or what they done about me? No! God knows what we need in a church. God sees us as a body and he says and he gives people that have different gifts than I do. And guess what? They may like different songs than I do. They may dress a little bit different than I do. But guess what? God has chosen them to be a part of a church, not me. We ought to love one another.
Amen.
But we go back almost like we're back in elementary school. And we want to be the captain of our own football team. And we want to pick our own players. Well, I'll take him. I'll take him. Oh, I don't want him. I'll take him. Oh, no, I don't like that person. I'll take him. No, that's not how it works in church. God says, bring them all. And he chose us and put us here for a reason. Whether or not, here we go, you like it or not. Because he is the one that is in control. He is the head. He knows what our church needs better than we do.
Amen.
And I thought about this. We talking about the body coming together as one. And I thought, imagine again, what if one lung hated the other lung? One kidney hated the other kidney, or your heart hated the mind. It would destroy itself. Right. And see, what happens is with cancer, it comes in and it's hate.
Right.
Cancer comes in and it begins to attack the individual parts. But we as a body of Christ, we ought to come together as one, loving on one another. If the left hand hated the right hand, am I going to go outside and cut it off because, you know what, this one wants to argue with this one? No, it's just going to have to get along because why? It's needed.
Amen.
Love one another. God chose you for a reason. You may say, Jeff, just bear with me for a minute. I'm going to move on. But you may say, Jeff, I don't have those skills. Guess what? You may not be a song leader. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a Sunday school teacher. And I say this all the time. You still are an important member of the body of Christ. And every single one of us ought to love one another. See, I don't want to go too far down here in the next few verses. See, he says this again. These things I commanded you, that ye love one another. You know what? We preachers, y'all ever go outside and go, well, grief, that preacher, Lord of mercy, he repeated himself at least 100 times. Because somebody in the church needs to hear it. The Bible itself repeats itself, and it is here. These things I command you, that ye love one another.
Yep.
Why? Because it is that important. Now you may say, Jeff, I do love them. I love them. Tell them you love them. Show them you love them. Now, as we begin to look here, the Bible tells us in 1 John and 4, we talked about it a little bit. Old John gets serious, don't he? He lets you know exactly where you stand with God. And he says this, oh, well, Jeff, you don't know what they done. Oh, Jeff, you don't know, and I don't know, but God does. But you know what he says? If you love him, we love him because he first loved us. We hear that so many times, and every single one of us go, amen, brother, that's wonderful, because it's true. It's true. But he don't stop there. He says, if a man say, I love God. Every one of us love God, right? If we're truly born again, we love God. But if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar.
Yep.
What part of that is he lying about? That he loves God, right? That's the part that he's lying about. He ain't lying about, well, I hate that fella, but I love God. He's a liar.
Yeah.
He's saying here, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he had not seen?
Right.
Listen to this. Now, this is the part that ought to get you to click in. And I know this ain't an amen, brother, preach it kind of message. But listen. And this commandment.
Right.
There's that word again. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Yeah.
Oh, is that up for debate?
No.
No. Why? Because it's that important, people. Why is it so important that we are talking about not just getting along here? We're talking about eternal life and death. Yeah. We're talking about examples that we're setting for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. I know that Christ is to be the example, and we are to strive to be that. But you know what our kids are looking at? And again, me, I'm talking to me, Tommy, is whether or not I can truly show love the way that I'm supposed to.
God, yeah.
We come into church, we have an ought or an anger against somebody. What kind of a service are we going to have? Right. The Bible is clear that we are to come together as one mind and one accord.
Right.
And if we're hating or have an ought or anger against somebody, are we going to do that? No. Are we going to have a good service? No. Now, God may save them despite ourselves, and he does.
Right.
God gives us good services many times, and you look across and you'll see some people just so stubbed up and mad. God help us.
Amen.
Now here's the thing. I'm about to finish. Hebrews 10, and we have been talking about this an awful lot with all the coronavirus going on, right? I've seen preachers posting this and talking about it and saying this is what we ought to do. And again, I agree. We ought to be coming together during this time more than ever before. But listen, Lord help us. Okay, listen to this, and I hope and pray I get it across. Hebrews 10 and 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Listen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What good does it do if we open up the doors and we come in here and we just sit and we sing a few songs and we listen to a preacher and we're like, okay, let's get up out of here if we don't love one another? You hear me? God help me right now, okay? What good does it do if we just come together just because we say, well, we opened up the church and we're meeting on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Well, we're doing much better in that church down the street. Look how good we are. But if we come in and we don't love one another, what good does it do?
Right.
See, it's not just that one verse about, yeah, we ought to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But there's a verse before that. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love, and then that what does? And to then good works. Because if we love one another, guess what happens? God moves. Good works. People want to help one another. We come together as one in prayer. We come up here and we sing the praises of God in song together instead of us sitting back thinking about what such and such said to us last week. That is not love. Oh, I got hushed now. I'm starting illusions. I know. But we need to hear this.
Right. Bless him, Lord.
Just because we open up the doors, it doesn't do any good. Right. And I hear churches all the time saying, we're just trying to keep the doors open. We're just trying to keep the lights on. But if there ain't no love in it, then the autos might as well just shut the door anyway.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Right.
Because there ain't no good coming of it anyway. In fact, all you're doing is you're doing more harm than good. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. That's hard.
Yeah, it is.
People are watching us as Christians, and they see the state of our world, and then we get on Facebook, and we argue, and we bicker amongst ourselves, and then the next thing you know, we're posting up scripture about how we are to love one another. God help us. Christian people can't even agree, can't even get along. And how in the world are we supposed to help the lost that are blind and looking for love, looking for acceptance, looking that we would show compassion and love for one another as Christ what loved us?
Amen.
Get the biggest amens in the world when you start talking down about people, Tommy. Amen, brother. They're sinning. But when you start talking about loving one another, because we're all guilty of it, ain't we?
Right. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I've had to deal with this a lot.
Yep.
Because you know what we expect? Come on up here and give us a song so we can shut up. We look at the world and we get mad and we get aggravated. But I said this the other day, what in the world should we expect? What else should we expect? If it can kill our Lord and Savior, thank you, sister. If you can, if the world can kill our Lord and Savior, who did nothing but love and compassion, and heal the sick, heal the lame, heal the blind, fed the thousands upon thousands, did not sin one time, did not say one ill word toward anybody, but looked upon the congregation and the people in the throng, and he had compassion and love for them. If they can take him and nail him to the cross, what do you expect it to do to us? Look at the world, and yeah, the world's against us. It says it up there. It's going to come against us in his name's sake. That's because we're Christians. But yet, God help us, that Christian people can't love one another. Christian people can't care for one another. I expect that of the world. It's a whole other thing to expect it from people that we love. God help me right now. Going and praying with people. Showing compassion for people. And then the next thing you know, they're there kicking you from behind. And you say, Lord, why? Because it's sin. Because it's sin. Lord, wasn't I there? Didn't I help them? Why in the world would they do that to me? Because it's sin. But we are to love one another, Brenda. We are to love them. You know why? Because they're sinful. We're all sinful. We all fall short of the glory of God. But don't let that hinder us in our testimony and our witness to the lost today. It's very important. What was it? Where's our children? Where's our grandchildren? You go into churches and it's nothing, Lord forgive me, it's nothing but old people. Kids are blessed. Look around, you're blessed. Got kids up here crawling all over the place, Tommy. That's wonderful. Why? Because what kind of an example are we giving? It's easy to do certain things. A lot of commandments are easy to keep, let's be honest. I think this is one of the hardest ones in the world.
Right.
Right. Love one another. Set aside that pride. Set aside that pride and just be obedient. Why? Because it's that important. Go, Tommy. Listen, just love one another. That's all we got to say. Just love one another because the world's going to hate us. Love one another. Go ahead, Tommy.
Not only did he say love one another, but he said specifically, men love your wives.
Right?
Right? I have to live with her. Right? I can X myself from you. I just have to see you on Sunday or Wednesday. But he said, husbands, love your wives as I have loved the church. It's the same premise. It's the same thing. I found that the most difficult commandment. It's to love like he loves me. Listen, the only way I'm ever going to get that done is he's going to have to help me. The love of Christ that is in us is the foundation to loving someone else. And if you're not saved today, let me give you a quick tip. You're never going to learn to love people. You have to be born again. You cannot love somebody else like he loved you until you have been saved. Till you've received the love of Christ in your own heart. But if you have him, then the opportunity is there. Right? If you have Christ, you have all you need to love your neighbor.
Right.
To love your wife, to love your children, to love your church members, to love the man across the fence that calls you names. You've got what you need. May the love of God tear our pride down. Right? Every one of us have pride problems. But may the love of God pierce our heart. Like the reason you respond the way you do is because that stuff's in you.
Right.
And if we'll let God get it out of us,
right,
then we won't have any ugly names to call somebody else. Right? For the simple fact that they cut in front of us. Right? See, we're guilty of all kinds of stuff. We just don't want to be. We want to blame somebody else. Listen, I have a responsibility. Because he commanded it to love everybody. It's hard. I agree. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
Is to love somebody that hates you.
Yeah.
Love somebody that according to Jesus, despitefully use you. Say all manner of evil against you falsely. We just went through that in Matthew 5. And yet Jesus requires us to love him. Why? Because he loved us. How we ever get to excuse ourselves from the situation when we were unlovable. And yet he loved us. We've no right. No right to withhold love. No right to not try to love. No right to hate. We can come up with every scenario there is. But if Jesus loved me and died for me, I have no right but to love one another. Thank God for the reminder, for the truth, for the messenger. Appreciate the Spirit of God. Right? All right, I'm not going to start, but listen. He's right. He hit on something here that's absolutely necessary.
Right.
If we are to be effective for God, it will be based on love.
Right.
We will not grow as a church. We will not prosper as a church until we love one another.
Amen.
And that don't mean just us, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's easy to love you good people. Well, most of the time. But we have to love them.
Right.
That's how we become effective in this world and be salt and light. Is when they curse us and we love them. That's what troubles their soul. That's what he coals a fire on their head. That's what they can't understand or comprehend. That's what keeps them awake at night. How does she still love me? How does he keep loving me? Right? That's the stuff that leads sinners to the light. Because that's greater than man, right? That's God.
Yeah.
That's how they come to know him. We have to love one another.
Hey, preacher, you got to love the ones that hurt you, too.
That's it. You got to love everybody. Amen. Well, appreciate the message, Jeff. Thank God for it. Pray one for another.